Well, let's take our Bibles this morning, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Well, I'm glad that you all came, but this message today is really directed mostly at me, moi. It's dealing with leadership and pastors and so forth, and so you guys get to sit in and listen, all right? So isn't that a good thing? Amen. All right. Well, here we go. Well, as Peter was approaching this time, remember, Peter was dealing with in the letter that he was writing, he was dealing with Christians that were being persecuted for their faith, and they were being scattered throughout different parts of the world and so forth, losing jobs and being forced to travel and to go into different parts of the world because of their faith. And so they really did need, if you would, strong pastoral leadership. They needed leaders that would really help them and that would lead them. And these times of persecution, they needed good leaders and they needed good leadership. And so that's what Peter is writing about here to these churches, but he's actually writing to the elders. He's writing to the pastors of the churches and so forth, and they needed leaders that had courage, that they weren't afraid of the circumstances or the persecution, but so they needed leaders that were filled with courage. They needed leaders not only filled with courage, but they also needed leaders that were filled with character, that were men of godly character and not men that would be dishonest or those types of things. And so that's what he's encouraging. They needed leaders who would not run when the persecution came or when the difficult times came. I don't know if you remember, I have a picture of it here, but the cruise ship, it was called the Costa Concordia. And it was a ship that was cruising the Mediterranean Sea in 2012. And in January 13th of 2012, the Captain Scannetti, decided that he would go off course and he would take a little bit of a different route. And he ended up near an island, but he ended up hitting a reef on the bottom of the seabed. And there was just tremendous confusion. I was watching some of the YouTube. You can go to YouTube and watch the video. People with their phones were videoing everything that was happening. And for a long time, they were saying there's no problem. It's just a generator and all of these types of things. And then it was just crazy watching them get all of these people off of the ship, but they didn't get them all off. And Captain Scannetti actually left the ship and he got on a lifeboat, saving himself, and was headed towards shore. And the commanders came in and they were like, "You need to get back on that boat. There's still people on the boat. You need to climb the rope ladder and get back on the ship and let us know what's going on. How many people are still on there?" And he refused to. He would not get back on the ship that he was captain of. And so anyway, there were 32 people that were killed in this accident. And Captain Scannetti ended up receiving 16 years in prison for what he had done. What's amazing, too, is it cost, I think, $612 or $620 million to build this ship. And they just now in 2017 were able to get it up out of the water and brought in and scrapped for metal and the steel out of it. And it cost them $2 billion to salvage this ship that only cost $620 million to build. It was quite an accident. And quite a deal. And when you were to listen and you to watch the captain, and they showed him before walking around and having dinner with the people on the ship and so forth. But then later to hear him refuse to get on the ship and not get back on the boat that he was the captain of was sad. And now he's sitting in a prison cell for 16 years of his life because he was not a good leader, and he abandoned the ship when there were still people on the boat, still people there. Well, that is an example of a captain or a leader that he abandoned what he was supposed to be doing when the times got tough, when it got difficult, when things bad happened. He took off. He ran. Peter is saying here to these pastors and these elders, these leaders of these churches, don't do that. Be men of courage. Be men that are leaders. And each church, it's interesting, in the New Testament, we can see it. I'll show you a scripture here. But each church appointed their own leaders or their pastors. And so congregations would select those in their congregation, or those who they would choose to be leaders. In Acts chapter 14 and verse number 23, the Bible says, "So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, in whom they had believed." And so every church, they had pastors, they had elders that were leading the congregation. Now, Peter wanted them, he wanted to help with this idea of leadership. He wanted their leadership to be at its very, very best, because they were at the very, very worst of times. They were in very difficult times. And so he was encouraging the pastors to be at their very, very best. Now, people would look to them for leadership. They would look to them for guidance. They would look to them for counsel. And so it was very, very important that they be the type of leaders that they needed to be. Well, what are the qualities, if you would, of a good pastor? Well, let's look at 1 Peter chapter number 5, and we'll go to verse number 1 and see what the scriptures tell us here. He says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort, and I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not by dishonest gain, but eagerly, and not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." Now, picture, if you could, a shepherd leading his flock, leading them down the path to pastures. He's leading the sheep. If you want to take notes, here's the first thing that I want us to see about pastors or shepherds as they lead the flock. First of all, pastors are to be servant leaders. They're to be servant leaders. They lead by serving. Serving as overseers, overseeing the flock of God, watching out for the flock of God. When you take the word elder, the word bishop, or the word pastor, they all have a very similar meanings, very, very close. That is the idea of overseeing the flock of God, overseeing the church of God. Now, what is interesting for pastors is good pastors will learn that they not only lead over, but they lead among. And so what's sometimes is difficult is that pastors, they live among the sheep, and they also oversee the sheep. They help watch out for the sheep. That doesn't mean that the pastor is your boss and bosses you around and so forth, but it does mean that the pastor, he serves you, he leads you, he watches out for you, he may point out some pitfalls that you might be not seeing or not aware of. He protects the flock of God from things that may be outside of the flock and so forth. And so a pastor is to be a servant leader, and he is among the sheep, and he's over the sheep. He oversees them as a shepherd would. And so pastors are to serve. Another thing that we can learn is pastors are to serve, and they are to lead willingly. They're to do this willingly. And in verse number 2, look what the scriptures say. It says, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not because he has to, but because he wants to. The pastor leads the flock of God because he desires to, not because he has to do that. And so that's a very important thing. One of the things that I think is dangerous, and I see the thing that I really pray about, and in my life I have taken steps to be able to do this, but when it comes time for me to give up pastoring and to retire from that or whatever the Lord's plan is for me, I want to be able to do that and do that in a way that is honorable, that is comfortable, that it will that my needs are taken care of, and that I'm on the right path. Here's what I'm saying by that. What I'm saying is I have seen it in numerous churches all around this country. I've seen it with pastors that I know and so forth. But they have, unfortunately, they have lost their effectiveness as a pastor. They're not able to really pastor as they should. And they stay in it and they keep doing it because they have to, because they don't have any means to retire. I do not want to kill a church because I haven't planned well. I want to be that effective pastor as long as I'm effective, and then move on. Step out of the way and let the younger guy take it. Well, pastors, so we're to be servant leaders. We're to serve the flock willingly, not because we have to. Look at another thing. Pastors also should serve with godly motives. We should serve with godly motives. Now, it says here, not of a dishonest gain, or not for dishonest gain. A pastor should not be in the ministry for all of the perks that go with it, or for the money that he may gain from it, or the things that he may have, or wealth. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about not being in it for dishonest gain. There's honest work. There's honest things that we do, and there's honest pay that pastors receive. But he's talking about dishonesty and those things that go far and above. Now, we're all old enough and mature enough that we have seen TV evangelists and other ones that have kind of gone beyond what we might expect and so forth. And you can kind of tell that their work and what they're doing, it is maybe not with such pure motives. Maybe it is to receive some dishonest gain or some gain, and that's why they're doing it. Peter says, no, be careful, be watchful that you're serving willingly, that you're a willing servant, and that you're doing it not because you have to, but because you want to, and that you're doing it not for dishonest gain, not to become rich, all right? Most pastors don't become rich, okay? Amen? All right, we know that. Well, we churches should pay their pastors as fairly and generously as possible. And I'll just throw in here, our church takes care of my wife and I, and we're doing fine. And I appreciate how they take care of us. Making money, however, should not be the most important part or the motive of a man's ministry, of a pastor's ministry. And unfortunately, we see that happening in our culture and among some ministries where that's the number one goal is to make money for the minister. Well, that's unfortunate. And Peter is warning about that. Well, pastors should also, they should serve with passion. They should serve with passion. And he says here, but they're to serve eagerly, but not out of compulsion, but eagerly because they want to. And because they enjoy it, because they want to do that, they should serve eagerly with a readiness of heart and mind. That's what it's talking about. With their minds being involved and their hearts being in it, shepherds serve because they love the sheep. Because they care about the sheep and they want to do what's best for the sheep and lead them in a godly way, lead them in the way that they should. Another thing that we can learn about pastors here is pastors should also, they should lead with love. They should lead with love, not as being lords. What does that mean? Not as being lords, that is not ruling over them, not ruling with some kind of an iron fist. Not ruling as, you know, I'm the pastor and you'll do it because. That's not the way that a pastor should lead the flock. He leads the flock in a different manner than that. And Peter is warning, that's not how you're to lead the flock. You're to lead the flock by loving them and being an example to them. And so pastors should do it by because they love the flock. Pastors also should serve as stewards of the grace of God's people, as stewards of God's people. That a steward means something, he says, over those entrusted to you. So there are sheep that have been entrusted to the shepherd. There are sheep that are entrusted to a church and to a pastor. And so he is a steward over those sheep. Now, I didn't put the verse in my notes this morning, but I believe it's in the book of Hebrews that it talks about pastors and teaching. It's actually James chapter 3 and verse number 1. There's another passage or verse that talks about this. It talks about desiring to be a teacher. Be very careful about desiring to be a teacher because those who teach are going to give a greater account. Hebrews gives the same warning. So as a pastor, we're not to do this lightly or flippantly and so forth, but we're to understand that the pastoring ministry is a very, very important ministry, and we are going to give an account for it, and that we're to be good stewards. The church, this church, West Fair Baptist Church, amen. Slipped back a few years, all right? But this church right here, God has entrusted the sheep that are in this fold to be here. And he has entrusted them to me as the shepherd, as the leader. And so it ought to be that I take that very, very seriously. And my goal for our congregation is that, 6 months from now, you are more mature, you have grown, that you are learning and that you are maturing in the faith and you are becoming stronger in your walk with God. That, to me, is very, very important. And I see some of that in some of our folks. I see maturing and I see growth happening, and I can tell just by how you act and how the things that you do and the things that you say. And I hear the questions that you ask about Scripture and other things like that. And so that's exciting. That's encouraging. And so that's, you have been entrusted to me to be the shepherd, a shepherd that took care care of the sheep back in biblical times. Remember, when you go back and you read the Old Testament stories, there were people, Abraham and others, they had huge flocks of camels and goats and sheep and everything else and donkeys and on and on. They had shepherds that took care of those. They had shepherds that would take them from place to place to make sure that there was grass to eat, that there was food for them to eat, that there was water for them to drink. And so understand that those shepherds understood that they were working for the master. They were working for the owner of those sheep. They understood they did not own those sheep, but they were responsible for those sheep and taking care of them. They were responsible to make sure those sheep were protected and that they were fed, excuse me, and led in the right manner and in the right place. And so shepherds, they have a huge responsibility. And shepherds are to not just to be the leader, not just to be an overseer. And Peter is warning, you are not just lords over, but he's saying you're to lead. And there's certain duties of a shepherd, and that is he's to lead. He's to feed the flock of God. He's to care for, to watch out for the flock. He is to protect them. Sheep, now, please, you know, they like to flock together. Sheep like to be together. They don't usually wander off by themselves to be alone. They want to be together. That's a great illustration or great example of how we as his sheep ought to desire to be in God's house. We shouldn't desire to be off alone by ourselves, but we should desire to be with other sheep that are growing for encouragement and for help and to encourage them. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's have another amen. Amen. All right, thank you, sheep. All right. Now, they want to be together. Now that I got a good amen out of you, I got to tell you another thing that's not such good news. Sheep are ignorant. Oh, man. The amens died down real quick. I only got one from Dave down here. But they are ignorant. I used to work on a farm, and they had sheep, and they are dumb. And they do tend to wander and go off in places where they're not supposed to go and things like that. And so as a shepherd of the flock of God, it is important that the shepherd helps the sheep, that he watches over them. You see, sheep are defenseless, right? Sheep, well, they don't have claws, right? They do? Oh, well, some do. They go and get them done, right? Is that what you're talking about? All right. I'm talking about real sheep, all right? They're defenseless. They don't have claws. Have you ever seen a sheep's teeth? They're not scary, okay? They don't have big fangs sticking out, and they're not, watch out for that sheep. He's going to come over and nibble your pant leg, you know, whatever. They are defenseless. They can't defend themselves, and so they need a shepherd to watch out for them. They are ignorant, and they wander, and they wander off, and so they need a shepherd, and what does the shepherd do? Shepherds in biblical times, shepherds today, they watch out for a pit. They watch out for holes in the ground that a sheep might fall into, or they watch out for snakes. A sheep might go up and start sniffing a rattlesnake, right? Seeing if it's grass, you know, that's how they are. And so a shepherd has to watch out for the pits that might be in the ground, or snakes, or, what about a poisonous plant? Sheep like to eat. And they'll eat right down to the dirt. That's why sheep, you've got to rotate their pastures. If you put sheep in a pasture, they'll kill out the grass if you're not careful. You've got to move them around because they'll eat it right down to the dirt. So they need they might eat a poisonous plant or something like that. And so they need a shepherd to watch out for them. As your pastor, that's one of the responsibilities that the Lord has entrusted to me, that we protect you from what? False teachers. False ideas, false teachings, listen, there are many out there. There's all sorts of cults and all sorts of ideas out there. You can find about absolutely anything on the internet today. You've got to be very, very careful, and you've got to compare scripture with scripture. And one of the things that's most important of a pastor is that he shepherds the flock, and that he protects the flock, and that he feeds you scripture, the truth of scripture, and doesn't twist it so that it makes sense for him to line his pocket and so forth. All right. So sheep, sometimes they need a shepherd, and sometimes they need one-on-one attention to be helped and to be led correctly. We can't only minister to crowds. And that's all they tend to do, is they want to minister to the big crowds and on. But you see, that's not necessarily how God intends for it to be. Sometimes a shepherd had to go and minister to one sheep, or he had to go get one sheep, or maybe two or three were over here and they needed to be with the rest of the flock. And so a shepherd can't be only focused on the crowds. He has to be focused on the individual sheep and where they're at and how they're doing, and watch out for them. And so those are the responsibilities of shepherds. Now, think about it. Jesus, he had crowds, didn't he? There were multitudes of people that followed Jesus, and Jesus was called the good shepherd, or the chief shepherd. And yet Jesus had multitudes that were following him and going around with him. But what did he do? He ministered not only to his 12, but you also see Jesus, even though he had multitudes, he wasn't the type that was saying, I've got all of these multitudes of people over here, and so I need to minister to them, and I need to take care of them, and leaving the 12 and the others to wander up. No, Jesus, what was he doing? He didn't only, in the multitudes, but oftentimes, what did you see him do? He went off to be alone with the 12, or they went into a house somewhere so that he would minister to just the 12. What about the other times when Jesus, remember he sat by the woman at the well in, I think it's John chapter 4, and he talks with her. He was one-on-one. He was talking with her and showing her about the living water. What about in John chapter 9, the blind man? Jesus, one-on-one, he heals the blind man. What about the lame? One-on-one, he could heal the lame. Jesus ministered not always to the crowds. You don't see in Scripture where Jesus healed multitudes of people. We see Jesus ministering and healing one-on-one individuals that what? They had their faith and their trust in him. They were not following him just to see what they could get from him. They were not following him just to see what kind. Remember Jesus in his ministry, what happened? Oftentimes he'd have huge crowds following him, and then when they didn't get food, or they didn't get healing, or they didn't get ministered to somehow, what would happen? The Bible says then many went away. There are so many people today that use Jesus. They're trying to use him. They're not really repentant of their sins. They're not really experiencing a change of heart. They're trying to use Jesus. People today try to use Jesus as like a good luck charm. That somehow if you do this or somehow... No, Jesus is not a magical name. He's not a magical person. He's God. And we must come to him in repentance, and we must come to him realizing that we're sinners and that we need salvation. He's not just a get out of hell a free card, or have a happy meal card, or whatever the case is. That's not who Jesus is. He's the sacrificial paschal lamb for salvation of the lost world. And we must see him as that. We must accept him as that. Jesus had crowds, but you oftentimes see him ministering to individuals. Nicodemus. What about Nicodemus? Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. What about Paul? Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 2:11. He says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. That's how pastors should be. Pastors should also, they should serve as examples. They should serve as examples to the church. It says, but being examples to the flock. Pastors are to be examples. We're to lead by example. We cannot drive sheep. When you see a picture of a shepherd, you always see the shepherd in front of the sheep and the sheep are following him. You can't drive sheep. They're going to turn around and they're going to get all messed up. You lead them by examples. Pastors must preach and teach the word of God and lead by example. Someone said, a visitor one time said to a pastor, boy, it was a pastor of a large church, and they said to the pastor, it must be hard to keep all of those people happy. It must be hard for you, pastor, to keep all of those people happy. And the pastor said, I don't even try to keep them happy. I try only to please the Lord and leave the rest to him. That was Warren Wiersbe. Remember the story I told you a couple of weeks ago about the donkey? And the people that were laughing, and the dad and the son, the dad got on the donkey, then he got off and put the son on the donkey, then they both were on the donkey, and then they were like overloading the donkey, and everybody got upset, and they tied the donkey, and they put the donkey on a pole, and they were carrying the donkey, and the donkey got away, and he lost everything because he was trying to please everybody. One thing that I won't do, I will always preach the Word of God the best that I know how. It's not my desire to necessarily offend or anything like that, but just as this pastor said, my one aim, my goal would be to please the Lord. It may make some folks uncomfortable with some of the messages, but my aim is not to please you necessarily, but it is to please the Lord. Think about J. Vernon McGee. I remember J. Vernon McGee. He did the Bible program where he worked through the Bible. I will never forget the day that he died. It was February of 1989. And I remember because I was outside in Boston trying to put a new radio in our car, and it was really, really cold. And it came on the air that he had died. Well, J. Vernon McGee is still on the radio. You can still listen to him today. I remember watching my dad smoke a cigarette, have his coffee, and listen to J. Vernon McGee and read his Bible. That's weird, but I remember it. I remember, Adrian Rogers, a good pastor. Pastored a great church. My wife and I accidentally happened to meet his secretary a few years ago. And he's still on the air today. He's probably one of my favorite preachers. And look how God is still using him. And there's many, many more that are still being used by God. President Eisenhower, let me read something that he said for you. He said, in order to be a leader, a man must have followers, and to have followers, a man must have their confidence. And hence, the supreme quality of a leader is unquestionably integrity. Without it, No real success is possible, no matter whether it is on a football field, in an army, or in an office. If a man's associates find him guilty of phoniness, if they find that he lacks forthright integrity, he will fail. His teachings and actions must square with each other. And the first great need, therefore, is integrity and high a purpose. Integrity. I hope that I can lead with integrity. Another thing that pastoring God's way, it brings eternal reward. And in verse number 4, it says, "And when the chief shepherd," and who's that, church? Jesus, right? "The chief shepherd, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." That ought to be my goal, is that I will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away because I shepherd the flock of God the way that Peter encourages us to. Aren't you glad this message wasn't for you? I'll ask the musicians if they would to make their way. I have a couple of closing thoughts once they take their place. Remember, the flock is the flock of God. I want to read a verse to you, Acts 23, verse 28. "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." You see, the church, Westfair Baptist Church, and the church as a whole, the church universal in Christ, that is, it doesn't belong to its pastors. Doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to the pastor of each congregation. It is a church that has been purchased by God. He purchased it with his blood. The sheep belong to him. And it is to be led with integrity. It is to be led with teaching the truth. Oh, my friends, I'm so disappointed so many times. So many people today, they're sitting in churches and they're dusting off pews and so forth in those churches, and they're not hearing the Word of God. They're hearing a story, or they're hearing something that maybe makes them feel good, or makes them more comfortable, or makes them more religious. My friend, that is not my purpose. My purpose is to feed you the Word of God, to lead you to walk in the Word of God, to lead you in a way that will be pleasing to the Lord. It doesn't belong to this pastor. This church doesn't belong to any pastor. It belongs to the Lord. It is His work. It is a work that never ends. You know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the work of a pastor is happening. Oh, I'm not saying that I work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I'm saying it is always on my heart to think about what the sheep need, what their need may be, and how to feed them and how to lead them. It demands, you see, because of that need being there all the time, it demands the power of God. If you do anything this week, I pray that you would pray for your pastor. That you would pray for Pastor Josh and myself. That we would have the power of God in leading and doing the work of God amongst the people of God. It's a very, very important thing to do. Would you stand with me, please, and as the music begins to play? You see, church, their souls to be saved. There's people that need the Lord. And pastors are to be equipping you and encouraging you for the work of ministry. And I pray that I'm equipping you for the work of ministry. Father, as we come before you today, I thank you for the day that you have given to us. Lord, I thank you for the flock of God that is here at Westford Baptist Church. Lord, I pray that you would help me to lead them with integrity. Lord, help me to have your power that we might, Lord, do what it is that you would have us to. Lord, I pray that we would see souls saved. That, Lord, we would see people that need you as their Lord and Savior, that they might come and trust you, that they might have salvation, forgiveness of their sins, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would just have your will and way, Lord, as we pray and as we just give opportunity. The Lord, you would speak to hearts this morning. Help us to do, Lord, what you would have us to. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.